Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dan Meadows. I'm coming to you live from Western North Carolina with the Tap Three Times radio show. It's going to be live and also on podcast for those who couldn't make the show here today. I want to welcome everyone for attending, and I do want to ask everyone to remember our friends and our listeners who are affected by this Hurricane Harvey that's coming ashore down Texas way. We wish them all the best. Prayers to each and every one of you. And just want to let you know that we are thinking about them over here in Western North Carolina. Also want to remember our sheepdogs, our heroes, and our patriots going to harm's way each and every day. And I will ask right now if we could have just a brief moment of silence. Just to remember each and every one of them who have lost, either lost their lives or been injured in battle, injured in their daily lives while trying to serve this great United States of America. Okay, everyone, I want to thank you for that moment there. I'm trying to see if I got Michelle Rahal on the line. Michelle, are you with us?
Well, I think I am, Dan. I hope I am.
Well, it's I can hear you, and that is a great thing, actually.
That's
so,
a good sign.
That's a good sign. So first time out with this radio show, and I got my very special guest on the line here, so that's great to know. Michelle, I'm going to introduce you in just a moment. I am going to do a kind of a lead in here, tell people about what this particular radio show is going to be about here today. And then I'm going to bring you in. I'll do a very special introduction for you in just a moment. So this is the Tap Three Times radio show. It's, again, live and going to be on podcast as well from the Western North Carolina mountains over near Fletcher, North Carolina. My name is Dan Meadows. I am the CEO, consultant, and chief instructor for the Tap Three Times group of companies. I ask if you want to go online and visit us, you could do so at tap3x.com. That's T-A-P, the number 3x.com. I call it Tap Three Times, but you have to write it out, tap3x.com. So appreciate your stopping by and taking a look at us there. This first particular radio show that we're going to be doing today is something that I'm very passionate about, and I actually write either a blog or I write a social media post on it. It's called Chase the Wolf. I'm going to read this to you real quick, and then we'll go from there. The idea of chasing a wolf seems far-fetched to some, yet it is understood loudly by many others. Criminals, thugs, I also call them thuglians, by the way, anarchists, and terrorists who plague our society, our communities, and our country run amongst one another. Many times, you'll find them running in the same packs. Sometimes you cannot tell them apart. This is why we chase the wolf, to rid them from our streets, our neighborhoods, and even this great nation here in these United States. The real world threat that we are faced with daily is the threat from within our own borders, just as much as is from without or outside of our America here. With criminals breaking into our businesses and into our homes, rioters who are destroying our cities, and thuglians who are attacking us on the streets of our nation, it is no wonder that we are concerned about the wolves who are attacking our very lives. Those of us who will chase the wolf are the sheepdogs, the patriots, and the heroes that I spoke of earlier, and others who are average citizens or even armed citizens here in America. They're the ones who are standing between you and the wolf. I want to thank you for that and for listening to that. And I want to introduce our very special guest today. It's going to be Michelle Rahal. He is the president and content manager of the Aimwell Target Systems. He is also the senior editor for Motorsports Unplugged. He is my mentor. He actually is the one who got me on the radio. And he is a very dear friend of mine. Michelle, I want to welcome you to my very first episode, Chase the Wolf. God bless you, and thank you for being here. How are you today, my friend?
Dad, thanks for having me. I'm doing great, and I sincerely appreciate you having me on your show, particularly since it's your inaugural show, and very proud of you. Very proud of the writings that I see coming from you, your social presence, your ability to gather up your thoughts and to put them into words so that people on the internet can understand. And if 15 years ago you'd have said to me that we would be getting most of our information from a tiny monitor or from our telephones, I'd have said you were crazy. But the truth is, that's what's happened. You're handling it very well. And unfortunately, our enemies and folks like Antifa and some of these groups and the thugs, thuglians, are doing exactly the same thing. They're very good at it. And we always have to stay one step ahead of them. But I want to thank you very much for having me on and allowing me to express my feelings.
Buddy, you're absolutely welcome. It's an honor for me to have you on here. I couldn't, when I was trying to put everything together, I just absolutely could not think of anybody else, any person that I would rather have on my very first show than my good buddy, Michelle Rahal, because, you know, quite honestly, I was a up-and-coming, I guess you would say, not a radio personality. I don't think I have too much personality for it, but you know, some might differ from that. But you brought me on board as a guest in the old Shooting Channel radio show, and it was a blessing for me then. And then eventually I kind of worked my way into being a regular guest, a regular contributor to your show. And then went on to help you co-host that particular show. And you even brought me in as a writer for the Great Shooting Channel. And, you know, I appreciate all that. So, you know, you are what has inspired me to even do this here today. And I just absolutely appreciate that.
Well, I created a monster because not only are you great on the radio, but your writing is it's nationally published. You've just come a long way, and I'm really proud of that. I appreciate you giving me credit for it, but give credit where credit is due. When you're passionate about something, as passionate as you are, then it comes easy. It just really comes easy. And as I see, you know, as I follow you along on the internet, they're just, you have those little like buttons down there on Facebook, and I can't possibly hit anything but like on virtually everything you say. So it's, you know, I'm proud to have you as a teacher as well, because I come from the world of auto racing, but I've been a gun enthusiast my entire life. I got my first weapon when I was 10 years old, and I've not stopped since. But I certainly don't have the skill set you do, nor the mindset. So in the shooting world, firearms world, tactical, safety, that sort of thing, you're my mentor. So I'm really happy to be here. I really am. I'm dying to get down into some of these subjects.
Oh yeah, I'm always a student myself. I'm still a student of farms, and some of my shows will even reflect some of those teachings as we go along. But, you know, we got a lot to talk about. It's just an hour show, and I want to try to cover off as much as I can today. And, of course, you know, we did a show on the violence in Chicago one time, and it turned out to be a two-part series. So, you know, who knows where this one's going to go as well. But we'll kind of get into it. So I want to start off and trying to describe what Chase the Wolf is. For people that don't know me or haven't read some of my social posts, if you will, I'm not talking about going into the woods, going into the forest, into the fields or anything, and chasing after wolves. I mean, you know, some are on the endangered species list and like that, but that is absolutely not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about going hunting after wolves. Although there is a different type of wolf, which would be like a two-legged wolf that I'm sure that I think some people even have hunting permits for out there. So we may even get into that. But what I do want to talk about is in chasing the wolf, and we're talking about the thuglands. We're talking about the criminals who plague our society. We're talking about the terrorists, both domestic and foreign-made terrorists, who are a threat to our national safety and to the safety of our lives, even in our own communities and quite honestly, in our own homes as well. So I'm going to ask you real quick, Michelle, what are your thoughts about lone wolf terrorism? Because I do want to talk in that general area, and I have a few things to throw out as well that we will discuss.
Well, my first thought is that the lone wolf is someone who has completely disenfranchised themselves, and then on top of that, probably radicalized because they have a terrible life, and they're looking for. It's almost like a gang that raises these young kids that go and kill. They have no one to look up to. They have no father. They have no family life. They've got nothing to look forward to, and any cause the cause du jour is what they'll go for. And unfortunately, there's some very evil people out there that you take advantage of these people that are either mentally unstable, just plain evil, or just have incredibly low self-esteem. And they believe that they're doing something great when, in fact, you know, they're causing mayhem, murder, death, and, you know, they want to be known for something. And it's unfortunate that it's come to that in our society. It's certainly not the first time that's happened in history, but, you know, it's the first time in modern history, I think, that we've seen something beyond World War II that looks anything like this. And these lone wolves, well, you know, they like the idea of being called a wolf. I mean, even that turns them on. But to cause the problems that they do, it's their mission. They believe that they're doing something that's greater than themselves in some twisted way. And that's the problem. It's twisted. Our society is, unfortunately, and I will blame the internet. I will blame these kids that text constantly. They don't know how to be social. They can't talk to people face to face, and you see them all the time. You see them in all the malls. You go to a mall and just go to the food court, look at everybody, all the kids, they're sitting there just tappity tap tap on these telephones. Well, those are the kids, the ones that you never in school were picked on and bullied. And by the way, the prisons are full of those guys. They've been picked on and bullied, so they went and did something terrible to end up in prison themselves. These people are nothing but pawns of the larger entity, whether it be Al-Qaeda, whether it be ISIS, whether it be, you know, mad clowns of Versailles, whatever you want to, you know, whatever cause is out there. They take advantage of these young people. They don't get their hands dirty, but they get other people's hands dirty to do the dirty work for them. And it's a difficult, and you can pop in here, it is very difficult to see them coming and to be able to stop them once they initiated themselves.
Well, yeah, and you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of them talk about their 5 minutes of fame. They were, you know, for many of them, you know, they feel that, you know, they haven't made any kind of contributions to society. You know, who are they to you know, make any statements or anything, you know, in their own social groups? They may be the person that just is a joiner, not a doer in the group. And so they want to make a name for themselves. They want to go out like that. You see it on the TV almost on a daily basis, depending on what, you know, lamestream news media that you might watch, you might see it or not. But, you know, these are some of the people who just want to make those statements, and they do so in such a violent and destructive way. When they are easily persuaded, when they are easily join in, you know, the sheeples of the world, in many cases, they join in because, you know, they can't do for themselves. They can't make it for themselves in society, so they have to do other things. And when you're talking about both domestically and on a foreign scale, you know, I listen to politicians say, you know, like when we're talking about gun control and stuff and gun rights and stuff, well, if you just put your gun down, well, they'll put their gun down. They won't rob. They won't steal. They won't kill and stuff like that. They'll put their stuff away. And, you know, it's one of those, as you've heard me say many times before, one of those kumbaya moments that many of the politicians are trying to look for. And it's not something that's truly going to happen. When you talk about, yeah, and we'll talk about radicalization and stuff in a bit, but when you talk about radicalizing people, they take on a new personality. They take on a new form. It's almost like you know, they're coming from the cocoon into being a you know, a full whatever it is. I could say full of S, but I'll try to keep it as clean as I can. But, you know, they blend into being something else that they weren't to begin with. When you talk about these people in these, you know, you see on a daily basis walking around and their face is stuck so far into the screens of their mobile devices, you know, it's almost like their faces are part of the background of the motor of their mobile devices. So it's just absolutely crazy. But they in themselves are anti. You know, when I talk to my dad, who is very up in years, and, you know, God bless him, he's still with us. But when I talk to him, he says, people don't talk to one another anymore. And you said it earlier. They just don't.
Yeah, isn't that a shame? That's a horrible shame. People, and I know some of the young folks coming out of the military, and they're very, very smart people, you know, but they're 10 years behind. They spent 10 years in the service, they special forces, and then they don't really know how to move around in society. So I've taken it upon myself to help a few of these folks, and they're wonderful people, but I can easily see how people can become radicalized and not have the social skills to be able to carry on a civilized conversation. You get the hit and run all the time if you're on the internet. And I've done 300 videos on automobiles on YouTube. And the things that people say about you when they know you're not standing there in front of them, it's horrifying. It's a glimpse into the mind of a twisted person. A person that can easily be manipulated. And that's, yeah, you know, you hit on it.
Yeah, you know, you and I are not, and absolutely not, we're not talking about every young person out there. We're not talking about every service member out there, stuff like that. But some of them, you know, and I grew up very quick in the service, and it was a blessing for me to go through the service as I did. I mean, I learned a lot about discipline. I learned a lot about respect, organizational skills, all of that because of my service career and later in my law enforcement career as well. But I learned a lot about that. But of course, we're not talking about all of them. We're talking about the ones who are antisocial, you know, they just want to be away from things and do their own thing. I know of people, and I'm sure you do as well, who, you know, they spend all of the daylight hours, unless you're working night shift, and I did many years on night shift, spend all of their daylight hours down in the basement of mom and dad's place or someone else,
right,
somewhere else that they're renting or something like that. And they're absolutely antisocial. And the only social moments that they've got is on the internet. Now, when you're talking about some of the things that they're doing about, you know, hacking into other things, being destructive that way, I mean, that's just part of that being antisocial.
It is. And I've found that, you know, the mindset of these folks, it really does come down to self-esteem. And when I refer to the service guy, they've just been out of the regular social scene for so long that they naturally are just using the internet to be able to talk to each other service guys. That's not the same thing as being someone who's prone to be radicalized. Someone prone to be radicalized I would think it's a form of mental illness, or at least a really desperate social problem. And you hear it over and over from the parents of some of these people that commit these atrocities. I never saw it coming. I had no idea. He never expressed that, you know, that sort of sentiment to me. You know, and it's I put a lot of this squarely on the newer generation of parents that allow it to happen. You really, 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 I mean, you and I both know we're about the same age. Man, if you did something wrong, you were going to hear about it from your parents. You were going to hear about it, and you were going to hear why. But these days, it's almost like, geez, is there somebody that can just watch this kid for me and let me come in and, you know, maybe fix dinner and, you know, how was your day and that sort of thing? Just mindless conversation, but nothing serious, nothing that would contribute to society. Today, it's a whole different thing.
That's true. You know, and you talked about age and upbringing, stuff like that. Of course, you and I are about as old as dirt, and so we come from a different area than most of them. But, oh, I'm sorry. Did I step on your toes virtually?
No, I'm older
anyway,
than you are.
just a little bit, so not too terribly much. But anyway, I do want to kick it on a little bit further here. There was a U.S. Department of Justice study that was done, and it was actually done from the years of, like, they did it covering cases on lone wolf terrorism from about 1940 to about 2013. The study was actually presented in February of 2015 that I'm reading from here, and I do want to cover a couple of things. It says, and this is from the Department of Justice piece here, and I do want to give them credit for it. We discovered 98 cases fitting this definition from 1940 to 2013. And they're talking about lone wolf terrorism. It said, representing all known cases of American lone wolf terrorism for that period. It says, of the 98 cases in that database, 38 cases occurred before the terrorist attack of 9/11, and 60 took place afterwards. Many of those were found out by doing things like law enforcement stings. So, you know, when you're talking about lone wolf terrorism, you're talking about, a singular person. They're not talking about multiples of people being involved in that particular study. In that summary also, it says within their database, 38 lone wolf terrorists between 1940 and 2000, and 45 authentic lone wolf terrorists between 2013 and 2013, there was about 83 cases of them. And so from 1940 to 2000, the 38 lone wolf terrorists committed 171 attacks, claiming 98 lives and injuring another 305. An array of firearms and homemade bombs were used in those attacks. Now, you know, we did the Shooting Channel thing for a long time, and we could talk all day long about, you know, the use of guns and the responsible ownership and like that. But these are people who took that to the extreme and used it for the being injurious or the killing of other people. So that's what we're talking about. And that's a whole other story in itself. But it said roughly that 60% of those lone wolves committed a single attack, and 40% committed multiple attacks. And, you know, we're talking about people like Theodore Kaczynski, who was a Unabomber.
Yep.
16 bombings over 17 years. You know, there's a racist serial killer by the name of Joseph Paul Franklin, responsible for 23 attacks over 4 years. And there's many more when they're doing that. From 2001 to 2013, 45 lone wolves committed 45 attacks, killing 55 people, injuring another 126. But the attacks have changed. The modus operandi has changed as well. It says, although lone wolf terrorism may not be increasing in the United States, and this was during their study that was put out in 2015, it is an undergoing dramatic change in the terms of their modus operandi, their method of their attacks. It said, the most significant change, and we're talking about our heroes and our patriots here, the most significant change involves the targeting of uniformed police and military officers during this period. So as we have all seen, and we have all quite honestly and sadly watched almost on a daily basis, these patriots are killed both here on the shores of the United States and of course overseas as well by terrorists.
Well, I just with great interest read an article by Ian Chong, and it was on the Daily Caller, a publication you and I are both very familiar with. And the premise was that Antifa, now that they feel like they're such strong, they're strong enough to gang up together, their modus operandi is killing police, calling for armed revolution. And they use subjects like unjustified police killing. They use all sorts of things that LGBTQ community that they're so mistreated. They're using that. It's a canard. It's what they want is socialism, and they tell you that. And it's important that people really, really understand what Antifa is really all about. It's not about patriotism. It's not about fighting fascism. It's about socialism. It's about changing the system from capitalism to something else. Now, these folks, some of these guys and women, were lone wolves or fancied themselves as lone wolves, couldn't hack it alone. So now they've got a whole bunch of group together. And we see it on the news every night. And the unfortunate part of that is they just don't seem to realize that it takes a lot more than just putting a hood on and declaring yourself to be some sort of armed warrior to stop someone else, a good guy with a gun.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that, a number of these people that are calling for armed insurrection, once they start going back to mama's house in a pine box, it may change the minds of some of these people, because these are young people and they're very impressionable, very easy to manipulate, and it's unfortunate. You always notice that, the big cheese, the head guy, is never around when the you-know-what hits the fan. They're always hidden somewhere.
They're hidden behind their money. They're hidden behind pushing the switch and flipping the switch for these people who are out there who are, I guess you would say, they're foot soldiers, while the commanders stay behind the lines and try to direct their attacks upon innocents. That's here. Now, let's get right now, and we'll talk about that momentarily. But some people don't even call them lone wolf terrorists. If you watched Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who is one of the aides for the White House right now, the Trump White House.
Friend of mine on Facebook, friend of mine.
Yeah. Okay. So he talks about it, but he said there's no such thing as a lone wolf. He goes on to say that that was a term used by the last administration to the White House. He absolutely calls it stupid to even use that terminology. And he said, basically, he says, at least through the ideology and the tactics, the training and the techniques and the procedures used that is supplied through the Internet. So they call themselves comrades. What's up, comrade kind of thing that you see on there. And it's just it's absolutely comical in some cases. I have to admit on that. But what Gorka did call it, you know, the lone wolf is it's international, is an absolute international global threat. And you need to call it what it is, which is radical Islamic terrorism or radical domestic terrorism. That's what it is.
Correct. Absolutely correct. And I think the term lone wolf actually was derived right after World War II when Germany fell and the SS troops had gone into the countryside. They called them wolf packs.
Oh yeah,
where they would roam the countryside and cause terror. I mean, it's been going on for years and years since Roman times, let's face it, but I think that's where the term probably came from. But yes, they get all their information from some centralized method, and how the message is delivered, you know, comes in multiple ways. Coding through games. Some of these games actually have code words in them. Not through the game makers themselves, but they've been altered to have code words in them so that they can, and the FBI's been unable to crack a number of these.
Yeah.
The games themselves actually have code words in them. So, yeah, they're triggered. They're triggered for a reason. They're disenfranchised youth for the most part that really don't have a lot going on. You know, you would have to just say they're generally losers. That have nowhere to go, and that's an unfortunate thing. And when someone shows them, you know, oh, we have a much better way for you to live. You're loved amongst us. Not that love ever entered the mouths of any true believer in God. It's just unbelievable the way that they are cajoled and slowly but surely push down that path to do something that they believe is so much greater than themselves. And ultimately, it's all about self-esteem and their glory. You know, I went out and I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. You know, not realizing that nobody's ever going to remember them. No one's ever going to remember them.
I don't even know why they even mention their darn names. I could use another word, but I won't. I don't know why they even mention their names, because even if you did mention their names, these people that cause, you know, death and mayhem and stuff like that, 5 minutes from now, 3 minutes from now, 30 seconds from now, I'm not going to remember it anyway. I'm just going to remember that there was another clown out there. And when you talk about them coming around stuff like that and talk about blaze of glory and stuff, come around over here. I'll help you along your way. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, you know, that's the funny thing is they don't realize that, or they do. The especially Antifa, the ones that are now becoming violent. Again, I just don't believe that they realize until they stand up against several of us who actually will do something. You know, until they go home in a few pine boxes, it's, you know, we may see some trouble. But, no, I don't think anybody, they've never run anything into anybody like America. No one in the world has.
Well, you know,
I
listen to the heroes, I listen to the sheepdogs, I listen to the patriots that chime in from time to time when some of the, excuse the expression, crapola is published out there, posted out there and whatever from some of these groups. And, you know, there's a lot more people that's, you know, locked, loaded and ready for crap that may come about. The unfortunate thing is, and when I watch some of these news stations and stuff like that, you know, and how they do it and how these people are, you know, oppressed and such, is that, you know, they're when they're out there doing that stuff, they just, you know, they want to give them all of the glory, some of these lamestream news media places, all of the glory. They're not in the wrong. They're not the bad people. Well, if you kick back and watch the whole video, you kick back and watch the whole story, you get back and tell the whole story, maybe you'll see it in a different light. But anyway, there's more than just the Antifas out there. I mean, there are all kinds of wolves. There's all kinds of gang members out there. There's the MS-13
sure.
population. There are sure. the radicalized. I'm not talking just Muslims here, and please forgive me if you think I am. I'm talking about the radicalized Islamic people who are out there trying to cause mayhem. They have their little gangs as well. If you look at some of that British first, British now type thing, some of the stuff coming from overseas, and see some of not every refugee, and I'm going to throw this out as well, not every refugee is a bad person, but there are a lot of bad people out there who, you know, you look at all this refugee population come over and all these open armed countries out there, Canada being one of them. Canada just changed their thought process about how they're going to take in, you know, people who are wanting to immigrate to their country. They finally saw the light, or somebody kicked them in the below the belt, and so some of them could see the light as well. But there's all kinds of refugees out there that causes destruction and mayhem that are out there. There are illegal immigrants, and I'm not talking about every one of them out there as well, but there are illegal immigrants who are gang members, illegal immigrants who come to our nation just to cause, you know, thievery and death of people and stuff like that. So there's a lot of people aside from the Antifas that are out there causing these troubles.
Sure. I mean, if you look at a gang, let's face it, if you look in Chicago is a microcosm of the Middle East. It's one faction against the other. It's like some place in Afghanistan, just a different way of saying it. But if you look in these neighborhoods, they're in gangs. It's no different than being part of a tribe over in Afghanistan. MS-13 being an example. These people are vicious, absolutely vicious people. These children are raised in abject violence from the time they're 5 years old. And are they redeemable? I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. All I know is I intend to protect myself. I would hope that if the occasion ever arose, that I would not fall victim to, do I help these other people for fear of being prosecuted by the left-leaning judicial system that we have in place.
Oh,
That has gotten out of hand as far as I'm concerned. The prosecutors all trying to make a name for themselves. So if you defend yourself, you're going to end up in court and with hundreds of, even if you're in the complete right, hundreds of thousands in legal bills. It's seldom when, you know, the police or the prosecutors will actually say this was completely justified and let it go.
Well,
end up with gigantic legal bills.
Oh yeah, and without a doubt on the legal bill that's going to happen. You know, even if you think that you're in the right, it's going to bankrupt the bank on that particular one in your own personal bank. You know, there's all kinds of hate groups out there, and please, 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 for the people that's listening in today or listening in on the podcast, whatever, I am not a supporter of any group whatsoever that promotes violence towards someone else. I don't care if they're neo-Nazis, white supremacists, Black Lives Matter people, Antifa, radical activists, earth-type, tree-hugging type activists and stuff like that that want to destroy property and such. I am absolutely against anybody like that that's going to bring violence, destruction of property, injuries to other people. I'm against all of that. So I get into this conversation with this comrade person the other day who wanted me to denounce neo-Nazism and white supremacy. So I denounced it. I denounced it.
I said, to hell with them.
I have no problem with that. But at the same token, I'm going to have you come on the other side of the fence. You know, denounce Antifa, denounce Black Lives Matter, denounce any other group that does that. And then I waited, and then I hear crickets, and nothing ever took place. So that's what it was. I brought my mix into it, and then, you know, I tried to be very professional about it, very, very, you know, respectful, and that's how I went through the whole conversation about it. But they wanted to throw four-letter words and this and call me this and call me that, and oh my gosh, it hurt my feelings so much. Not, you know, it's just, it's exactly. Absolutely unreal. So there are all kinds out there. You know, you have your alt-right, you have your alt-left, and you have your alt-stupids out there who are creating such crap that, you know, just get out of my face. Just everyone get along. Get back to talking. Get off your phone. Get back to talking. You know, the best thing that the United States has is we have the ability to be able to talk to one another. The worst thing that the American public has is that we never take it to that level.
That's unfortunate, but it is moving in that direction. People just don't talk face to face anymore. And in business, you know, that's become one of those things where we have to deal with some of the younger people. And it's truncated, cryptic emails, and these texts that have no intonation. It's gotten to the point where they don't talk to each other, and they don't know how to talk to each other. There's a skill set involved in being social, and that skill set doesn't include typing with your thumbs.
That's true.
It means looking someone in the eye and trying to feel what they feel or understand what it is they're saying. And you either agree with them or you don't. But it's you know, when people don't have real conversations, that's where conflict breaks out. And
well, then, yeah, when you're talking conflict.
I see it every day now.
Oh, yeah. When you're talking conflict, they'll use that social media device to rally up the troops to go out there to go stand in the middle of a highway or something like that. And then people wonder why you become a speed bump, you know, because people are not going to sit there and have their cars beat on and stuff like that. You know, property is one thing, but when you talk about violence against individuals, that's something else. But so that's just one thing. There's all kinds of triggering effects out there as well. When you're talking about things like the statue that were going on, well, bless goodness, you want to take it down, put it in a museum someplace, put it on the battlefield some way, because it hurt your bloody feelings. I'm sorry. So let's do that. But let's take the rest of them down as well. Guy,
exactly.
African-American guy, Liberty Headlines. He's a Fox News contributor. He's an editor with the National Review. Guy name is DeRoy Murdoch. And so he talks about things, you know, the partisan advantage and stuff like that that's going on, and oppressed people. And he named blacks, he named minorities, and he's an African-American himself. But he said, you know, they should start by being honest when they resist statues of Jefferson Davis, Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, which, by the way, it's not Robert Lee, the ESPN guy that they yanked off of there, and
yeah,
the luminaries of slave-owning South. He said, these were not Republicans. Newsflash, everyone. These were not Republicans,
no.
As the Trump-hating left hopes to convince people who don't know history. Yeah, Linda and I, my wife, were talking about history the other day. Most people don't know history. They really don't.
No,
but
they don't.
Confederates that we're talking about were Democrats. They were Democrats. Newsflash, Democrats. That's what it was. Oh, and by the way, Senator Robert Byrd, wasn't that Hillary Clinton's mentor?
Mentor, yeah.
Mentor.
And one of the head of the KKK.
He was one of the Grand Kubas, or whatever you want to call it. He was the exalted Cyclops, whatever the hell that is. Of the Ku Klux Klan. He recruited 150 Klansmen back in the 1940s. He led an 83-day Democratic filibuster in 1964 against the civil rights. So People, you need to kick back in the history. You're trying to eliminate it. You need to read back in the history before you totally eliminate it out of the future. Now, yeah, I could
I certainly wouldn't.
Go ahead.
With the statues, I would not have a problem whatsoever if the statues simply came with an accurate historical plaque or portrayal of what the person was.
Yeah,
I mean,
one that's not going to be damaged by someone else.
Yeah, why, you know, it just tells the truth. This is really what happened. Yes, this was a founding father. Yes, this was he was a slave owner. Just put the facts out there. And it's kind of like Charles Barkley said, not one day in my life have I walked by one of these statues and given it a second thought. I got bigger things to do.
Michelle, nobody gave it a thought, even when it was a Democratic House, Democratic Senate and stuff like that. Nobody even gave it a thought until now.
That's correct.
And why now? Oh, it's because it's the fashionable thing to do. To do this crap and stuff like that. So fine, take them all down. But let's take down the rest as well. What about JFK? What about LBJ? What about ML King, Martin Luther King? Those people were unfaithful husbands. Well, let's just take their statues down as well while we're at it.
It's worse than that. I mean, LBJ was yes, he passed the Civil Rights Act. He pushed it forward after Kennedy had started it. But he had no love for African Americans at all. In private, he was very vocal about how he felt. Abraham Lincoln was not the saint that everyone wants to believe that he was. He didn't have any great. Ulysses S. Grant, right down the line. I mean, it's,
oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
we either go down a path that somehow we can socially heal all of ourselves, not black, not white, not China. You know what I'm saying? We all have to evolve in the correct way, not in one side, you know, we want reparations. Well, I'm Lebanese American. I've been called names, you know, and it's too bad, but
yeah. And even though I have a Southern voice, I was born in California, so I don't even have people over this way. So, you know, and we'll leave it at that. We're going to be coming up against the end here pretty quick. So where do we go from here? Absolutely. And I want to talk about what you do as well. But real quick, where do we go from here? I mean, do we heal? Do we keep on? Do we keep on punching and kicking one another down? Or do we heal?
I think we've got to be able to heal, and we've got to be able to do that. I think it's the educational system more than anything. We have allowed the educational system in this country to fall far, far short from that of Canada, from that of even the South American countries. They come up here, and my wife's Colombian. They come up and they're like, "You got to be kidding me! You're learning. These kids are learning this in the eighth grade. We learned it in the third." And
oh yeah.
I think it's the educational system. It's the family, and it's being able to get involved. People of responsibility have to be able to get involved and show these kids that there is another way.
Where is it
and
for
the way
good
path they're going down?
Or the path they're going down? Yeah.
Yeah, there's another path that they can take, and it's one that leads to success and some semblance of happiness. No one ever said that human beings were going to be perpetually happy. That's not the end game. You have ups and downs in life, and you got to be able to learn to handle them.
For sure. You know, they wrote an article about me many years ago, and I said one of the mantras I've always tried to live by is that I always try to treat people better than they treat me. So if everyone took that aspect about it, everyone took that way of doing things, maybe everyone would get along much better. You know, there's problems in our society. You know, why aren't the congressmen, the Senate, why isn't our government trying to work out the problems for society, not, you know, problems for themselves? Anyway, we could do a whole other chapter on that. Michelle, tell me a little bit about what it is you do, Aim Well Targets and like that, before we kick off the air here.
Well, Aim Well Laser Target System is designed to do just what we like to do. We like to be able to be in control of the situation as best we can. And what that means is we have, ours is a laser training system, which you've used. It's a laser training system that's completely wireless, feeds the information into computer. It employs a laser pistol, a target, and your computer with software. You can use as many targets as you wish. It's all wireless. And when you acquire your target and you fire the little laser pistol, it reads back into the computer, and it simply tells you right there on the spot in real time how quick you were to acquire the target, how quickly did you move from target to target, and were you able to do it in a time that – were you able to follow the drill even though the targets got moved around? So it's situational training rather than just standing static at a range. Obviously, I believe in marksmanship, and I obviously believe in shooting live ammo. But it's very hard to do for many people when you can use this in your home and be accurate at moving around. And plus, it's a great teaching tool for expert instructors such as yourself.
You know, it is an absolute great tool. I use it for my classes, my firearms classes that I do here in Western North Carolina. It's great. I know a lot of people have talked very, very highly about it. Is my record still there as far as the four targets?
Oh, your record stands. The Marines are jealous. They all try to beat it.
Nothing against Marines, but I think it's 1.78 seconds for four targets that I did from a draw position. So I love that. I think I got a video of it floating around somewhere. But anyway, those are great. How do they, Michelle? How do they get a hold of finding out more target systems?
Yeah, it's very easy. Just go to www.aimwelltargets.com. That's AIMWELL targets.com. Once you go there, you can select the package that you want, you add it to your shopping cart, and it's incredibly easy. We have excellent customer support. We love to talk to our customers as well, and if necessary, you know, you can always always put a call in, and you know, we're happy to do happy to take orders over the telephone as well as on the website. But the easiest thing is just www.aimwelltargets.com.
Yeah, one of the slogans I remember is "Don't just aim, aim well."
So aim well, exactly.
It's an absolute great training tool. You know, you can bring it inside. You can be inclement weather out, everything like that. Really something great. You can set it up in a number of different places in your home and do a variety of different scenarios and such as that. Real quick, 2 minutes you got to talk about your Motorsports Unplugged. Tell me what you do with that and kind of a history on that.
Well, we started Motorsports Unplugged in order to give the racing fan opinion editorial, not news. You can get news anywhere, but expert opinion on what, not what happened, but why we think what happened. And you know me, I mean, I'm quite opinionated, so I had no trouble doing that. So we've moved into, it's NASCAR, it's IndyCar, it's Formula One. And I grew up in the world of auto racing my entire family since 1952. The Rahals have been doing this for a long, long time. I was a professional driver for 7 years. I loved every minute of it. Think of it every day, even at my age. But Motorsports Unplugged is a place where you can go to get opinion, to find out exactly what someone else thinks about why are the ratings falling off in NASCAR? Why is Formula One so unbelievably expensive? How can a driver make $80 million a year in salary? A lot of people don't realize how difficult it actually is. And we started Motorsports Unplugged for that reason, and now we've begun to expand it a little bit for our audience out there into IndyCar. And into the sports cars. My young cousin, Sean Rahal, is this weekend at Paul Ricard Raceway in France, competing in the Le Mans Prototype 3 Series. He'll be back over here in February to run the 24 Hours of Daytona. And my other cousin, Graham Ray Hall, is active in IndyCars, as most IndyCar fans will know. So it's just in the blood. It's in my blood just as much as the smell of gunpowder. So it's actually quite enjoyable. It gives me an outlet so I don't scream at the cat. And it's one of those things that we thoroughly enjoy. And that's www.motorsportsunplugged.com. And our new senior editor is Ron Botano. Excellent writer, excellent guy. And, we want to just continue to grow that.
That's true. I know motor oil is running through your veins, and quite honestly, gunpowder runs through mine. I gave blood the other day again for the Red Cross, and they had to make sure there was no open flames around while they were doing that. So and doing that as well. So it's really been great. It's been a blessing to get back on the radio. I missed it for such a long time. A lot of things changed in my life, and movings and relocating back to North Carolina, and I stay pretty darn busy. I do the Tap Three Times group of companies, tap3x.com. I do all kinds of pistol, rifle, shotgun classes, concealed carry classes. Concealed carry classes have been one of my biggest draws here in Western North Carolina. It is a huge draw across the United States. And, of course, with the administration that we have in the White House and in our government right now, your Second Amendment rights are not being as challenged as much. They'll always be challenged, but not as challenged as much as they would if someone else maybe had gotten in office. So I think that was a blessing for us. Well, we're coming up in about 2 minutes here. For those who are interested, if you're in Western North Carolina, we'll make the trip here. It's Dan Meadows at tap3x.com. It is the Tap Three Times radio show that you're listening to today. Next week's show, I'm going to have to change it on a day because I got some out-of-town guests coming in that I'm going to take shooting. So I'll probably be doing it on Thursday of next week and then change it back to find the right time frame, right days to be able to do this program. But nonetheless, we'll have one next week. It's going to be on EDC, which is your everyday carry. Think about that between now and next week, about what it is that you carry with you each and every day that'll help protect you and help you to survive as well. So we're coming up on about 1 minute. Michelle, anything else you want to say before we leave the air today?
Just how much I enjoy getting back on the air with you. It takes some time to get back to it. I did radio for 7 years, but it's always difficult when you take some time away from the microphone. But I think you've done a wonderful job, and I wish you the best of luck. Anything that I can do to help, I'm there. But I'm most proud of the fact that you're helping others learn how to be safe and be able to protect themselves and not have fear. That I appreciate from you more than anything. I really do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You were a great, and you still are, a great mentor in my radio prowess and in my writings. I know you've always told me that if I write anything, send them by your desk, you take a look at them. And I do appreciate that, and I know you'll do that. I know you've helped push many of my articles along over to Mike Piccioni and them over to Daily Caller and a number of different locations as well. And that's been highly appreciated. You can't find anybody better. Get out, shoot as much as you can, everybody. I want you to stay as safe as you can. I want you to survive the threat because it is a daily threat. Threat comes from different places. You need to know your enemy. Sometimes the enemy is as close as, right next door to you. Right next to walking by you on the streets. So, that being said, God bless everyone. God bless you, Michelle. Thanks for being here. I know I'm going to have you back in the future, and look forward to having you again coming up soon.
My pleasure, sir.
Okay, take care. God bless everyone, and be safe.